I want to bring up our next storyteller, who is newish to Paonia, and she spent her summer here picking tomatoes. So please welcome Beth Reboing.
So my story starts last fall at this time, when I was living in northern Wisconsin on the shore of Lake Superior in a moldy, mouse-infested yurt. And I had been living in the yurt since about June, so and by about August, things were getting a little bit grim in the yurt. I got super sick, and I blamed it on mouse pestilence. It was surely the plague that had me puking in the ferns. So I decided that my plan of just letting the turds pile up in corners was not going to cut it anymore, and I got some mouse traps. And I bought 3 mouse traps. The first night I set the traps for 2 hours and caught 5 mice. And I felt really bad about this. I hated killing these sweet little creatures. So I laid them out on a log, side by side, out in the woods, and in the morning they were all gone. I caught 24 mice by the time things started to look up for me in fall time. And things were looking pretty good because the mouse population had plummeted, and the hardwood forests on Lake Superior are beautiful in the fall, so I was pretty stoked just to be living in the woods. But the biggest excitement for me was that I was about to get to volunteer to sell potatoes for this man named Johnny Applepants. In my head, he was named Johnny Applepants, and he was named that because he worked at an orchard and he was a farmer, and I was going to sell these baked potatoes with him at Apple Fest, which is basically our equivalent to Mountain Harvest Festival, our being northern Wisconsin's equivalent. And Mountain Harvest Festival is a little bit more diverse. Apple Fest focuses on apples because that's all they can grow up there, basically, other than potatoes. And so I was pretty stoked to be doing this with Apple Pants because basically I've been having him over to the yurt for the past however many months, and we would sit on opposite ends of my couch and nothing would happen. And then in the post-game review with my friends later on, they'd be like, you know what your problem is? You just need a smaller couch. And I was like, no, what I need is to go to this Apple Fest and sell baked potatoes with Johnny Apple Pants, and it's going to seal the deal. So I'm excited about fall. Things are really looking good. It's the day before Apple Fest. It dawns very early for me, even before it's light. But it's not because I'm super excited. I'm not that excited. It's that I hear all these car doors slamming, which is strange because I live in a yurt in the woods far from everybody. But I can hear the neighbors' cows, so I figure I can hear their car doors. And everybody's getting ready for Apple Fest. They're just getting ready for Apple Fest at dawn the day before Apple Fest. So I roll over in my moldy bed feeling good about things, and I go back to sleep. And I have this beautiful fall morning drinking coffee in my hammock and writing in my journal about the blue jays, and it's just a lovely morning. And then I have to go to my car because I'm going to go meet my friend in Duluth, and we're going to have a lovely day in Duluth. So I walk the little trail to my car and past the boil tree and over the tripper rock and out to the car, and I see this CSA box sitting by my car, which is strange because I don't remember leaving it there, but I know that Pants gave it to me the night before in exchange for baking about 2,000 potatoes with him. So I'm just like, I see this box on the ground, and if you live in a yurt, basically you're living out of your car. So you use your car for storage. So I meant to store the box in my car to keep it away from the mice, but it's on the ground and I'm scolding myself saying I was in a pants trance and get it together. So I'm going to put the box back in the car, but then I see this broccoli leaning against a tree. And then I see a cauliflower leaning against another tree, and every tree trunk is decorated with a vegetable. It's a little confusing, and I'm thinking, you know, my friends that live up the hill, for having a toddler, they sure have a lot of time on their hands to play this trick on me. Because what's going on? So I go to, like, gather items, whatnot, and I look in my car, and the seat's all the way reclined, and it smells kind of chemically in there. And then I realize there's nothing in my car. And later, the police report says that I retrieved 54 items that were stolen. But at the moment, my car's just empty. Like, the thing I always think is the floor mats were gone, and my Culver's garbage was gone. I don't know if anyone's Midwesterner, but Butterburgers, yeah. They butter your bun at Culver's for the burger. Anyhow, that's an aside. But my Culver's garbage was, everything was cleared out. So I just like, this is surreal, but what do you do? I don't have cell service, so I'm getting the car to drive away to call somebody. My friends have a landline up the hill, so I'm going to do that. But I reach for my keys that I keep on the dash, and they're gone too. So then things switch in my head from like, oh, this was kind of amusing, and now maybe there's a creeper with bad intentions watching me from the woods. So I bolt up the half, like quarter mile to my friend's house, and I say, all my stuff was robbed out of my car. And my friend's like, we know who did it. There was this crazy lady burning circles around the orchard earlier today, and we called the cops, and they said they know who she is. She's like known to the cops as like the local meth head, and she probably has all your stuff. And I never made it to Duluth that day because I was sitting in an orchard by a cop car with a woman in the back seat screaming at me and crying and screaming at the cops. And it was just like a pretty horrible day for everyone all around. Like, this lady had, like, her third arrest or something, and the cops were picking drug paraphernalia out of the grass, and it was just kind of, like, it was a bummer. My security, my sense of safety was violated, but also just seeing this woman at, like, her lowest point of her life. And so that was a stinker of a day. But the next day was Apple Fest, and everything was to be redeemed. And I showed up at Apple Fest, and I say my hellos, and Pants is flipping his potatoes on the grill, and I'm like, you got to hear my story of the meth head. And he's just, I don't have time for your story of the meth head. And and so I will loan you guys my journal to hear the dirty deets if you want to know why Pants was just a big disappointment that day. But basically, I realized nothing ever happened with Pants because nothing was ever going to happen with Pants. And so there was that disappointment of the failed romance or whatever it was, combined with all the emotions from the day before. So I deal out stupid potatoes for 8 hours or something, and I'm just bitter. And I go home, and on the way home, I call my mom, and my mom is a nurse, so this is forgivable, sort of, but she's always like, just take a couple Bennies, Benadryl, and drink some chamomile tea and hit the sack. So I drank some chamomile tea because, I don't know, you don't have Benadryl in a yurt, or maybe it was still missing from it. But I drank some tea and drank some more tea and read some Jim Harrison and drank more tea. And it was time I was getting sleepy, but I encountered a problem because I had put a wool blanket over my doorway, and also it was my only window in the yurt because, via my logic, the vengeful meth heads were after me, and I didn't have a lock on my yurt, and so I thought, well, they can't trace me if they can't see the light shining out. So I had this blanket over my window, and I was like, I'm not taking that blanket off for anything. So I figure I've been using a compost toilet, aka a poop bucket. I've been using this compost bucket for several months, so I figure if I can poop in a bucket, I can pee in a bucket. And I take the slop bucket out from under the sink, and I use it as a toilet like 100,000 times that night because I've drank a lot of tea because I'm having a hard night. And so, all right, I finally fall asleep, and I wake up to this rustling noise, and I'm like, Meth Head's here. But no, it's not the Meth Head, it's just another mouse. It's the rogue mouse that has yet to be trapped. And I turn my headlamp on, and I see it pop out of a drawer. And so I have to pee anyhow, so I get out of bed and go to the drawer and look in the drawer, and it's where I keep my baked goods. And I also, every time I move, I discover these very special chocolates that move with me, and and I'm waiting for a very special time to eat them. And but I just forget about them between moves. So there's these very special chocolates from some very special friends in that came from a very special place called Paonia, Colorado. And the chocolates, the foil is torn off of both of the chocolates, and there's little gnaw marks in them. And so this mouse is having a very special night. So I'm just like, all right. And I go back to bed, and it's much better than a Meth Head. And the next time I wake up, it's funny when you're 35 years old and you've never in your life heard the sound of a mouse falling in a pee bucket, but you wake from a dead sleep and you know that's exactly what happened. So I put on my headlamp again, and sure enough, there's this poor little mouse, and it's just scratching at the sides of the bucket, and it's like waves are crashing over its head. And I just tear down that wool blanket, and I say, whatever, Meth Heads, and I run out with the bucket in my underwear and bare feet, and I dump the bucket out, and it's a cold night, and the fog's steam's coming out of my mouth, and I'm just staring down at this surreal image of this mouse, and it's just quivering in fear, and it's glistening in pee, and and I've been thinking about all these mice that have died, eaten by the owls and by the foxes, and how through all of space and time, just like that's how I would always justify killing these mice, is all of space and time, all these mice have died, and this is just another one. But when I'm looking at this individual, it hits me that we're all on our way to falling into our own personal pee buckets, and I might already be drowning in mine, and it's time to make a change. And the next day, I start officially looking for jobs in Colorado. Thank you.
Beth,